I'm Robert Siegel, and the subject is Iraq. What does or what should the United States want to happen there? Our guests are Phoebe Marr of the National Defense University, Jeffrey Kemp of the Nixon Center for Peace and Freedom, and Gary Sick of Columbia University. Gary Sick, just a moment ago, you were saying that really what we've just seen, if we don't address and settle the issue of the Kurds, that what we've just seen might be very small compared to conflicts that could erupt in the future in the north of Iraq.
That's right, because at this stage, it really all we've committed are a few missiles from offshore sites and no chance of loss of life or anything else. But it didn't resolve the problem. I'm very concerned that if the Kurdish situation continues to fester and get worse, as it appears to be doing, it has the potential of bringing in the Turks from the north, the Iranians from the east, the Syrians from the west, and in effect starting a conflagration that maybe nobody wants, but which nobody is going to be able to resist, and which we will have to put in real resources, people on the ground or other diplomatic resources that we have not even considered at this point. And I think if we don't address that core issue, even if Saddam stays, we have a real prospect that the Middle East itself is going to come unglued.
Phoebe Marr, you've said that it's unrealistic to say that we want to see a democratic government in Baghdad. Is it realistic to think that we want to see some finely tuned federation where there's a regional center that satisfies Kurdish aspirations in the north? Or do we really also mean that a unified Iraq means a suppression of Kurdish aspirations?
I don't like to think that. And incidentally, it's not what we want. It's what we're likely to get. We have to be pragmatic and work with the material on the ground. We want a regime that treats its Kurdish population better. I believe that if that is the case, then you will damp down aspirations to separatism. They will never go away entirely, but they will become minimal. What do I mean by these aspirations? First of all, economic development, which is badly in need in the north. And I have always felt that the Kurds in Iraq and Turkey and elsewhere would be better off with a bigger say in the central government, some real power in the central government so that they had a voice over control in their own regions rather than separatism, which cuts them off from the central government, and more open borders, which allow them to travel. These are general aspirations. But what can we do immediately? Frankly, there are really only two solutions, both of which may be very difficult to achieve. We can make more of an effort to bring these two parties together for the moment in the north. That's going to be much more difficult after this episode. Or we can countenance the kind of agreement that seems to be emerging between the KDP and Saddam, kind of a deal in which the central government, that is to say Saddam, while he's still there, has nominal control over the north. The KDP has control of the rest. This, of course, will not be countenanced by Talibani or...
But these are the Barzani Kurds. This is the movement led by Barzani, the
KDP.
Yeah,
that's correct. Now, the problem here, of course, is that the central government today is Saddam, and that is not a solution that is particularly palatable to us in Washington and perhaps to a number of Kurds.
Well, if those are the choices, and then I want to get to Jeffrey Kemp in just a second, but very briefly, Phoebe Marr, if the choices are either you support that deal or you try to work out a peace between the two factions, which one is it? You said that the working it out is harder. Do you still try to do it just the same?
Well,
I
think we ought to try to do it. We were trying to do it. In fact, we thought we had gotten such a peace settlement just before this occurred. There has been some criticism that we should have done more. And certainly this can't be just us. It needs to bring in certainly the Turks and others to at least get some kind of a government up in the north that can keep law and order. That's what's happened. Law and order has broken down up there. That's certainly preferable, in my view, than Saddam's secret police all over the north.
Jeffrey Kemp, you started this off by saying that the short-term goal, the one we really ought to concentrate, is getting Saddam Hussein out.
Right, because while I'm, agree with a lot of what's been said about the Kurdish issue, I do not believe this should be a priority now of American policy. We should have done more in the past. It would have been nice. But we've got to focus on what our real interests in the Middle East are. They are the continuation of the Arab-Israeli peace process, the removal of Saddam Hussein and the containment of the Iranian mullahs. And it seems to me that getting sucked into a conflict over the Kurds, particularly since there's such disagreement amongst all the parties there, is going to lose sight of what we really have to be focused on. And I would welcome, of course, an agreement between the two factions and an end to the fighting, because I think it would make it easiest for us in all sorts of ways, including military operations. But if that's not going to happen, then I think the administration is probably right to focus on this new no-fly exclusion zone and the pressures that puts on Baghdad. Because if we can ever resolve the problem of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad, it makes our life much easier dealing with our other bête noire in the region, the mullahs of Tehran. If the United States is once again talking to a successor regime in Baghdad, it'll make it easier for us to ultimately either put pressure on Iran or perhaps even do a deal with them at some point in time. And those issues, I think, are infinitely more important to our broad strategic interests than which faction of the Kurds is up or down.
Could I just...
Yes, Gary Seck.
I really don't disagree on that, but if I genuinely believed that the no-fly zone, for instance, was going to bring pressure on Saddam Hussein that would get him, throw him out of power, that would get him out of there, I would say hooray, except that we've now had over 5 years of no-fly zone, admittedly not quite as close to Baghdad, but that has not seemed to be a factor in getting it done. Well, and I worry very much that the Kurds, rather than being a sideshow, are in fact the kind of problem that is going to get in the way of our objectives in the Arab-Israel peace process, in getting rid of Saddam Hussein, because with a divided opposition fighting among themselves, Saddam Hussein is in a position to play the game. And it also, rather than containing Iran, actually draws Iran into the problem. So I see the Kurds not as a secondary issue, but as something that affects all of our interests across the board.
But if I understand what you said earlier, Gary Sick, you are not saying that we should be champions of Kurdish autonomy.
No, I was not saying that at all. And I think we can all agree that we didn't cover ourselves with glory in terms of our dealing with the Kurds in the recent past, though I think there were some genuine efforts that were being made. I think we have to put a lot more in terms of both diplomatic time and physical resources into constructing some kind of an agreement there that at least reduces the chance that the whole Kurdish thing, or the northern Iraqi thing, if you like, is going to explode and draw in all the rest of the Middle East.
Gary Sick, thank you very much. We've been talking with Gary Sick, who is executive director of the Gulf 2000 Project at Columbia University. We also spoke with Jeffrey Kemp, who is at the Nixon Center for Peace and Freedom, and Phoebe Marr of the National Defense University.